And you've made it. You've listened to 1 hour of Bitcoover, Vancouver's only chiptune broadcast. Why don't you listen to the second hour right here on CJSF 90.1 FM? And now, dear netizens, for your listening pleasure, an exclusive interview that was conducted here on CJSF soil just the other day with an emissary from the Internet Archive. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Another exclusive interview from Bitcoover FM. We have a representative, an emissary from the Bay Area. I found out, same town that I lived in. Please, for Radioland, if you could let us know where you're from and the station that you work at and the amazing organization you also work with.
Yeah, I'm Jennifer Waits, and I'm a volunteer at KFJC, 89.7 FM, and at Foothill College in Los Altos Hills, California, and I also work for the Internet Archive, curating a college radio collection, which in, you know, Canadian terms would be like campus and community radio collection. So, yeah, I'm visiting Canada, I'm visiting BC to talk about that project and invite stations to contribute to this archive that we're building.
We were thrilled. It's a Sunday here just after the NCRC conference held in Nanaimo, and I jetted back here, but then Jesse, on the way out, Jesse reminded me, hey, someone from the Internet Archive is coming from here, and she's from the Bay Area as well too, and I said, oh, I'm from the Bay Area. And we found out we are both from Sunnyvale, so shout out Sunnyvale, the 408 and Silicon Valley and the South Bay.
I know, my homeland. I live in San Francisco now, but had a suburban youth in Sunnyvale.
I feel that. One of the coolest parts about the Internet Archive is that it's not just websites. There's a whole bunch of books being digitized, their preservation of recordings, there's news articles, there's video, there's software, a significant amount of software, and then one of my favorite things, a lot of old video games are preserved. So either ransomware or randomware or shareware that has now expired kind of thing. I grew up in the era of DOS games and very early PC and computer gaming. Yeah. And the Internet Archive, I go back to regularly and find stuff to play.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really fun stuff, and they keep adding kind of fun functionality. They're also digitizing microfiche, and one of the newest things is that you can go and watch a live stream of microfiche being digitized, and it has kind of this chill vibe music in the background, so it's like a very meditative experience. But yeah, they're trying to preserve all kinds of things, and the project I'm working on, it's considered a special collection. So there's some of these highly curated collections that are official projects, and it's a grant-funded project that I'm part of that is ostensibly a ham radio archive.
Nice.
It's called the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications, and the person in charge of that whole project, Kay Stavitz, has a really broad perspective about amateur radio, so was adding stuff on the fringes of college and community radio. And so when I found out about it, I, you know, pitched an idea of building out college radio within that. So that's what I've been working on. And, you know, I'm also interested in adding more amateur radio materials from college campuses too.
Certainly.
In addition to broadcast radio.
After this interview, I will definitely pass along some information about the ham radio scene here in BC,
because
I'm on the fringe of that as well too. Vancouver has several repeaters in the area. We also have an amazing group called SARC, Surrey Amateur Radio Club, and they do great work. They even do this thing called EME, Earth, Moon, Earth, where they bounce radio signals off the surface of the moon and get the reflected signal back. And they do microwave links. Very, very cool stuff. The ham radio kind of built out of a lot of the aviation scene here, because there was a significant aviation in terms of things like float planes and logging, so you would only be able to fly in or you would truck in. So there's a long-standing amateur radio community here in BC and also in the Pacific Northwest on Vancouver Island and in Seattle as well too.
It's amazing, and I'm super into radio, college radio history, and the very early college radio stations in the 1920s were really started by people who were amateurs and hams. So there was a lot of intersection between that. So an amateur radio club on a college campus might also be doing some of these, you know, ham radio experiments and, you know, things with Morse code. And so that's part of, you know, part of how I see that connection, especially in the history, that you can't separate amateur radio from, you know, college radio history.
Absolutely. We uncovered some amazing things over here. Jesse and I went kind of through our archives. We talked about our library, which has four main formats. We went through all the various stickers from bands and also super underground and indie record labels, even one from Berkeley that you recognized.
I know, so amazing. Yeah, I mean, college... I've heard people describe college radio stations as archives, and it really is. You know, there's so much history captured here on the walls and in boxes and in people's memories. So it's delightful to come in and see familiar-looking stickers that I recognize from my radio station, or see records from bands that I know or labels that I know. And the fact that you've saved... I'm so appreciative of stations like yours that have saved this material and not tossed it out. It's good to be a hoarder.
I went to the radio conference in Calgary 2 years ago with the NCRA, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, which is kind of the overarching umbrella organization for us here. And they were... there was a presentation on the music library, specifically music libraries across radio stations. And we were singled out as one that had not gotten rid of our physical selection and not just maintained it, but resumed acceptance of physical records over the last few years. And that's something that I work very hard to maintain, is that we have digital. Sure, it's convenient, but there's nothing like having the physical items. Yeah. The records, the inserts, the liner notes, all the printouts and the handouts that come from community organizations and Canadian stuff and West Coast stuff as well.
And some of, you know, I've done radio shows that highlight the specific qualities of physical records. You know, there's some things that are not... cannot be the same when digitized. Like, I don't know if you have Christian Marclay's record without a cover.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, specific instructions are you put this record in the library without a cover. And so that's the one record I'll grab with my fingers because, you know, it's not supposed to be protected. And so every time you play it, it's going to sound a little different. Or things like 500 lock grooves, you might have that. You know, playing locked grooves off a record, like, what's the digital version of that? It doesn't even make sense. Or noise cassettes that have specific qualities to them. You're supposed to kind of play around with the technology. Like, you can't...
There was one that my friend had... No, I know what you mean. There was one that my friend recommended to me. It was a CD that was supposed to be put in, and it would, like, destroy your CD player. So like, almost Mission Impossible, this tape will self-destruct vibe to it. And it plays with the physicality of the medium more so than just the music. We're also working on, of course, as many stations are, digitizing our collection. Preference given to CDs at the moment because they're easy, but I would say the next step would be cassettes, just because those fade quickly kind of thing. And we were looking at some of these things, and Jesse and I were noting that many of them are bands or record labels that don't exist anymore, and we possibly may have the only copy around, if ever.
Yeah, and tape deteriorates, so I would say there's more urgency also with that, you know, the material might be disintegrating. So, it's amazing that you have this cassette collection. I think, I'm guessing a lot of stations got rid of cassettes, because even the station that I'm at has a massive tens of thousands of item record library, and the cassettes that we have are the ones that we've added in, I don't know, the last decade, because we started adding them again, but I've never seen older cassettes, and there must have been older cassettes around the station. Oh, another thing about the physical stuff is that you can layer things, you know, like at a radio station, you've got multiple turntables and cassette decks. And so that's not really the same when you're playing digital material.
No, the aspect of sound as a collage material is so cool. There's definitely a few artists that I would recommend to both Radioland, who's listening, as well as yourself. There's a very cool project that was started here at SFU in the 60s and 70s called the World Soundscape Project.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Hildegard Westerkamp, Barry Truax, real pioneers. And definitely I've done shows on my program about them, and several of them are professors emeritus here at SFU. And long-standing Vancouver music and arts scene members, and really exploring sound as a delivery vehicle and an experience, more so than just a sense.
I mean, that's part of why I knew I wanted to come out to your station, because I've met people from Simon Fraser, you know, doing really cool stuff in sound studies, and it just seems like there's a lot of great you know, great activity going on around sound in Canada, and it seems like there's more support for radio art and experimentation.
We are very thankful to places like the CRF, the Community Radio Fund. The university has helped us out with certain projects and preservation from the province as well. When your project is up, where can people go to find more information about it?
Yeah, so the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications is on the Internet Archive, and Internet Archive is archive.org. So if you want to see the specific college radio collection, it's archive.org/details/college-radio. If you want to see the ham radio collection, the full Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications, which we call DLARC, that's archive.org/details/DLARC.
Beautiful. Any other organizations you want to give a shout out to?
No, I mean, just I'm so happy to be up here and visiting so many campus and community stations. It's really inspiring. The conference was really inspiring. So, you know, thanks for opening your doors on a Sunday. It was so nice of you.
Absolutely. We thank you very much, and we hope you'll be back soon.
Thanks.
Beautiful exclusive interview with a direct connection to the Internet Archive. How many radio programs can say they've worked with the Internet Archive? Probably quite a few, actually. But up here at CGSF, and especially Vancouver, we aim to build those digital bridges and to get the usernames of all those who come through the virtual plaza. Big, big, big thank yous and shout outs to Jennifer Waits from the Internet Archive, as well as KJFC and Foothill College in Los Altos. For those of you who know the Bay Area, shout out to the Bay Area. There's lots of good radio down in the Bay Area. There's lots of good radio up here in the Vancouver area, in the Greater Vancouver Regional District, Metro Vancouver, as it were. Those links, if you're interested in really going deep into a collection, a sizable collection of archival material from, in the United States, what's termed as college radio. Up here in Canada, it's termed campus and community radio. You can, of course, go to archive.org/details/college-radio. And for the entire collection, which has over 157,000 results, the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications is available at archive.org/details/DLARC. Once again, big, big, big thank you to Jennifer. She did a presentation at the radio conference in Nanaimo and was very kind to give us an exclusive interview right here on CGSF 90.1 FM as part of Vancouver FM, Vancouver's only chiptune broadcast. We're listening to a little bit of World Map Programmer, Let's Make a Map from 2006. I really quite enjoy this track called Mini Disc. Then we're going to jump around a little bit more into some more music and chiptune that is available. It's almost 3,000 results for just chiptune on the Internet Archive. Thank you so much for joining us here in the digital archives of the virtual plaza on Vancouver FM.
FM, Vancouver's only chiptune broadcast. Broadcasting live from the top of Burnaby Mountain every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific. Don't press buttons when you're listening to things live. Have you noticed that? It's not a good idea. And the thing I closed was something that's actually very important. Sorry, everyone. We'll edit this correctly. So you're actually only going to hear this if you're listening live right now. Donate to the Internet Archive.